Talking music.
Hey guys, this is Kirti from the Savan Studio, and today we are talking music with someone who sung at least one of your favorite songs. For real, we have with us Clinton Cerejo. Yes, that's right. That's what his family likes to call themselves now. Cerejo and not Cerejo. He's the man who sang Kya Karu in Wake Up Sid, sang the Tamil version of Hamdam Suniore, and composed everyone's Coke Studio favorite, Madari. He's recently composed the music for Kahani 2 and the new Arijit smash hit, Mehram. Let's give it up for Clinton and start talking music. Welcome, Clinton, to Talking Music on Savan.
Hi, Kirti. Lovely to be here.
As every interviewer has to do research before they, you know, get into an interview and figure, like, what have you done before? And so I was going through Wikipedia page, and the first thing I came across was under the title called Life. I saw this thing. Clinton was born into an academically inclined family with no known musical background. His father was an engineer at L&T. Mother is a French professor. His elder brother is a software professional. And his younger sister is an editor for medical journals in the United States. What happened to you?
I know, black sheep of the family, right?
Yeah, how did this happen?
So I think for me, it was, music was always part of my subconscious, you know, but never in my consciousness. I was very, you know, musically inclined all through school and college and everything. But because of my upbringing, it was always, I think, something that I never considered to be, something I could take seriously. It was always something that I thought will be a hobby or, you know, a very serious hobby, but never my profession, you know, at least right until the time I finished college. But back then, it just seemed like, you know, academics or get, you know, a corporate career would be something that would be most natural for me. Also because the fact that my parents, you know, kind of brought me up thinking like that.
Because of your family, obviously, it took you many years to actually break in, right? So when you were, did you learn to play music or it was just a hobby?
Actually, it was a hobby, and I used to play a few chords on the keyboard and the guitar, because we used to take part in college competitions, you know. So someone had to accompany all the contestants and whatever. So it became the guy who knows the most chords, and I could only play everything in C back then.
Okay.
Yeah, I could only play all my songs in C, but somehow on most keyboards they have this thing called the transposer.
Yeah.
Which was a transpose button, which let you transpose to whatever key you want and play everything in C. I mean, I got away with it for some time, but after that I said, you know what, I can't do this. So I would stop using the transpose, like trying to teach myself the keyboard, the guitar, you know, things like that. And actually, more than anything else, taught myself arranging and production, because while I was a singer and I started singing jingles in college, I used to bunk college and go for recordings, backing vocal recordings and things like that.
That's cool.
But because of that, I realized very quickly that I'm not necessarily the most versatile singer. And back then, you had to be a jingle singer, you had to be really versatile.
Yeah.
Because you'd be called in to sing a Bollywood jingle one day, the next day you'll be doing like a completely rock oriented track, the third day you'll be doing a slow jazz kind of thing. So you have to have a versatile voice. And I didn't. I was too focused on R&B, you know, and
soul.
I had a very niche voice, which is only good for that kind of stuff. And there was, how much of work will you get just doing that? So very quickly, I think I realized very quickly that I was not going to really get very far as a jingle singer. And at the same time, I was always interested in everything that was going on under the vocals, behind the vocals, arrangements, production, all of that stuff was really interesting to me. And I got, you know, very fascinated by music producers, you know, people like Trevor Horn and Rod Temperton, Roy Thomas Baker,
Quincy
Jones, Butch Vig, and, you know, all the big guys who, you know, Arif Mardin. They were all like, for me, all their music was like a Bible for me back then. I started, you know, hearing it, and I would completely go mad, you know, because the way they did stuff, instrumentation, orchestration, production, which just seemed like the right path for me at that point. And I wanted to do whatever it takes to be a, you know, music producer.
So this this passion of yours, this what evoked it? Like, you've always, have you always been someone who's lived in Bandra? Because Bandra in itself has a culture, right? Like, you play the guitar and you have girls around you and you're like, hey man, you know, I can play the chords and the girls are going crazy. And you're like, did it start like that?
I didn't live in Bandra. I lived in Mahim though, which is pretty close.
Close, yeah.
It's just a bike ride away. And in college, that was our only objective, to play, you know, like playing guitar and, you know, being in the
canteen
and chilling and all of that stuff. So, that was one area in which I would score a little higher than all the other guys because I knew a few more chords than everyone else. So, yeah, that was the only, I mean, how much time we used to waste?
No, I mean, if we look at it, it's not really been wasted, right?
Now I think about it, yeah. Exactly. But the best part was that I was in a college that completely encouraged this, completely. And I would say completely, not by their own admission, but by the fact that they had no attendance. There was no attendance in my college. I was in Podar.
Okay.
And it was a college of really smart people. Like, I mean, you had to get really high marks to get into Podar. I got into Podar not because I got really high marks. I got like 78% in my SSC, which is not that high.
But it's not bad. It's great.
It's not
actually
too bad. Yeah. But my mom used to teach in Ruya, right? She was a French lecturer in Ruya. So she knew the principal of Podar because they're like really close to each other. So that's how I got in. I would have never got in otherwise.
Jugaad.
They were closing at like 87 or something ridiculous like that, you know. So I would have never made Podar, but I got into Podar and my mom wanted to put me in Podar because she thought she could keep an eye on me. That was she was completely mistaken there. But having said that, once I you know, the best part about Podar was that there was no attendance at all. Like, there were no students in the class. Everyone came to college. We never missed a day of college, but we were never in class.
And how did y'all then study and stuff? It was just,
you know,
like,
everyone was studying on their own in the library. But I remember there was one student who would the professor would call him. Are you coming to class today? If you're coming, then I'll come. So it was like that. So there would be classes where there would be one student and the professor, you know. Because the rest of us were never there. But so, I remember in my TY, I attended one lecture. In the whole year.
What are you saying?
Yeah, one lecture on the first day. Just wanted to see who were in my class. That's it. After that, I never went back.
I think the guys from Poddar are going to come after you after this interview.
Yeah,
what are you spreading these rumors?
I did like 11 lectures in 3 years. 11 lectures in 3 years of senior college. I know it's like, it's a really bad track record, but I think that was the best part because there were some of us who would get guitars to college. There was a friend of mine, in fact, who would get a Fender Strat and a Marshall amp every day to college. A Fender Strat and a Marshall amp.
That is insane. Yeah, it's unheard of.
Getting an acoustic
school of rock.
Getting an acoustic is okay, but he would come with a Fender and a Marshall
every
amp,
day.
Every day. As if he's going to music school. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy. So we would find an empty classroom, and because most of the classrooms were empty anyway, we would just plug in and we would jam, and that we would be, you know. So that was a.
So did you have a band and stuff going on that time? Like, because I'm sure Xavier's and all these guys had their mallars and.
Yeah, exactly. So we would take part, and I mean, not really a band situation, but there were singing competitions and things like that. So I would obviously take part, and but again, you know, when there's a very big difference between, you know, taking part in a college competition and then when you go out in the real world.
Oh, of course.
You know, then you really, you smell the coffee. You realize that, you know, you're not, while you were really hot shit back in your college, this is the real world. There are people 10 times better than you. You know, you need to really pull up your socks. You need to figure out what you want to do with your life. If you really want to be serious about this, then you've got a lot of, put in the time, put in the effort and learn.
So how did you break into the real world, Clinton? Tell us about that journey.
So,
Marathi,
yeah.
Film, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. The first time I ever saw the inside of a studio was that, because I don't know if you know Sid from Band of Boys, Siddharth Haldi.
Of course, yeah.
So Sid and I were like in college together, all 5 years, and we became really close friends. And I would go to his place. His dad was a very famous arranger,
yeah,
Amar Haldipur. I started because I used to go over to Siddharth's place, and he had a grand piano. And back then, in those days, to have a grand piano at home,
yeah,
it was a baby grand, but still, have a grand piano was you know, release something, and I would go there and just play for hours, you know.
Again, C.
Initially in C, but then I started, because that's the best part about a piano. It doesn't have a transpose button, you know.
Yeah.
So you're forced to play in the key that the singer wants to sing, you know. Yeah. So that was a good thing, because I spent so many hours on that piano, I started learning to play in other keys. And not only that, I used to sing, accompany myself and, you know, sing. His father heard me and said, you know, I really want to work with you. I'm going to make you sing some song one day. And he really kept his word. He called me to sing this song. It was for this director who's passed away now, called Mr. Anand Modak. And the song was a English song in a Marathi film, you know. And that film went on to win a national award and stuff. It was, you know, a film called Mukta. But after that, not much happened for a long time after I sang that song. Then I slowly started, you know, getting into the circuit, people like Merlin D'Souza, and then later Ranjit Barot, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of arrangement with him, Ehsan and Loy. And that's when I started singing more seriously in jingles. I took a loan, bought my first keyboard, you know, because I was really technophobic. I couldn't work with a computer back then. I said, if I learn sequencing and, you know, programming on a computer, I'll go crazy, because I'm not used to technology. Okay. So I bought an XP80, which was like a, you know, a sequencer, a sound generator, everything in that one box. So everything I need to learn to produce music is in this one thing. You know, okay. I just need to plug my headphones in and I'm set. So I spent so many hours. I used to wake up, back then it was pretty obsessive. I used to practice from 11 in the morning to 11 in the night.
What, really?
And then I would take a dinner break, I would have a shower, and I would work from 12 to 4 again, every morning, every day.
On that keyboard.
And I would be sitting on a dabba, you know, like a little tin, because we had a really small house. We were like eight people actually, in a 300 square foot house. So there was literally no space. My keyboard would be on the bed. And after that, I would slide the keyboard under the computer table and I would sleep on that same bed, like at 4 in the morning. But it was really a time when I just lived and breathed. And, you know, if I wasn't listening to music, I was making music. If I wasn't making music, I was listening to more music. It was like that.
So after this whole Marathi thing happened and you started singing, how did you break off from ad jingles and into this whole production world?
I think in 97, 98 is when Rehman happened by accident, actually. It was like, a lot of people have heard this story, but I was doing a song for a friend and I had done that arrangement, and the following week that song was being mixed. I wasn't even in the studio. You know, that song was being mixed at 4D, which was a very popular studio back then. It was like...
Okay.
Where they used to do jingles and stuff. And that song was being mixed in Studio A. And AR was working in Studio B on that day. And he was in the corridor having a snack or something in the evening. And the door of Studio A was open. And he heard the harmonies and stuff. And he came in. And he asked, who's done this arrangement? And the engineer called me up that day. And he said, man, I just wanted to tell you that, you know, I mixed the song today. And... the song you did last week, and AR happened to be there, and he heard your stuff, he loved it, and
wow,
and nobody said your name. I said, really? Like, yeah, he asked who's done this, but nobody said your name. I was just the engineer on that session, so I didn't open my mouth, but I just wanted to tell you that they didn't say your name. They said, no, we've only done it.
What?
I said it's cool, it's fine, but at least he liked it, you know. He really liked it. So now, exactly a month later, AR was doing Janaganamana, you know, his version of the national anthem, which is really popular. And he was coming to Bombay to record Ashaji and Hariharan and all the Bombay singers. So there was one section where he needed a choir for the end section of the piece. And I got a call from a friend who worked a lot with Bharat Bala, and that back then she called me and said, do you want to do a singing job? Like, do you want to be part of a choir for Rehman? I said, absolutely, why not? So she said, the recording is today. It's at 12 o'clock at CMM studio in Worli. So I said, sure, I'll be there. So I reached there before everybody else. I reached at 11:30. And AR was in the studio in his white kurta. He had just finished his prayers. There was nobody else in the studio but him and his engineer. And I went up to him and I said, I don't know if you remember this, but last month you were at 4D and you had heard this song in Studio A and you came in and you asked who had done this arrangement. I just want to tell you that I'm the guy who did it. You know, I just want to tell you that. So he said, oh, really? You're the guy? And he like started talking to his engineer in Tamil and he said, okay, come here. He took me to his keyboard. And he started playing a progression, you know. And if you know AR, I mean, like, his progressions are never very straightforward.
Mm.
They're a little complicated and they're always have something, you know, in that will intrigue you or you will want to understand more of.
Mm.
So he started playing the progression and he said, now this is what I'm planning for the end section. So... you know, these are the chords. So write the arrangement today for this session. So I said, are you serious? Like you mean right now? He said, yeah, now write the arrangement. So in my head, I was thinking, why did I just say that? You know, why did I go and tell him that? You know, but there was no. It was like, okay, now it's a trial by fire, right? You know, put your money where your mouth is. So,
So
I just whispered a prayer, and the singers had come in by then. I went into the voice room and. It just started coming to me. All the voices, on the fly, I started composing and, I mean, writing the arrangement for the whole piece. When I went back out, I realized that AR had gone. I asked his engineer, where's AR? He said, because I was, you know, like 4 or 5 hours later. He said, no, he's gone back to the hotel. He told me to tell you to finish it. He loves it. You know? So he didn't even wait for me to hear the end of it. He was like, really happy with how it was going, and he left. And exactly a week later, I get a call, you know, asking me to come to Chennai to do some work. And that work trip was like supposed to be a 2-day trip, and it lasted 12 days. And I had to go to the mall to buy clothes because I only had clothes for 2 days. So yeah, I mean, I did a lot of work in Chennai back then.
So how was it working with Rehman and like the experience of?
There was lots of trust. You know, that was the best part, when he knows that you're capable of something. Then he really
lets you be
exactly. He, you know, there would be times when I would go to Chennai and find out that he's in London or he's in LA or whatever, and the engineer would play me the song, hit the space bar and fall asleep because they're always underslept, you know, at Panchatan, yeah. at his studio. So he would literally hit the space bar and he'd be asleep, and then I would ask him, Siva, what do we have to do on this song? What do I need to do? It sounds pretty okay to me. And, you know, he said, I don't know. Sir told me to play it to you. I'm playing it to you.
Wow.
So then I would, you know, figure out what it requires. According to me, I would call some singers if I needed to, or if I wanted to call a guitar player in, if I wanted to do like some string programming, whatever it required, I would just do, spend a day or two in Chennai, finish it, and I would take the flight and come home. And then I would meet AR like a month later sometimes. And I would ask him, we are working on some other thing only. And I'd be like, did you hear that other job thing that I did? Oh, yeah, that was very nice. It's released already. It's gone. So if you didn't hear from him, it was great. Like, that means it's superb. You know, if he's silent, or if he really likes something, he'll send you an email with just one word. Great. Or like, very nice. That's about it. Nothing else.
A man of few words.
Yeah. Another person I have to mention in the story is, and two people actually, but in this order, I think it was about 99 or 2000, and I really wanted to get into doing jingles. And although I had worked with Rehman considerably back then.
Did you sing for Rehman?
Also, yes.
Tamil.
I sang a few songs in Tamil as well. I remember singing a very popular song in the film Alai Payate, the Mani Ratnam.
Yeah, Alai Payate is very big.
Yeah,
film.
So the song that Kunal Ganjawala sang later, O Hamdam, the original Tamil version is sung by me.
You have to sing it. I'll sing. Yeah.
Enrendram, enrendram punnagai, mudivilla punnagai, indru nanu meendum meendum pirande norun thuri paar vaile indrendram punnagai mudivilla punnagai இன்று நான் மீண்டும் மீண்டும் பிறந்தே நுறுந்துரி பார்வையிலே ஓயிரே 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 I did a fair amount of singing for him as well, but back in Bombay I really wanted to compose jingles and, you know, get into that. And there was one guy who many people may not know, because he's been doing jingles and only jingles for the last 25 or 30 years maybe. So yeah, so he's done like several thousand jingles. His name is Rajat Dholakia. He's an Indian composer. But he's everyone calls him Juku. You may not know his full name, but everyone in the industry calls him Juku. And in the ad circles, he's like a legend.
Achha.
He used to do 3 recordings a day back then. Like, he used to book 3 studios and have 3 jingles running simultaneously every day. So I really wanted to produce with him. Met him once, and I think I did one jingle with him, but then he never called me back for almost a year. So I was wondering why. I always took it as a learning. Maybe I'm not ready yet. I need to, you know, get my chops together and everything. And then when I went back, you know, like a year later, he called me for a jingle. After that, it was like no stopping. I kind of started doing work with him on an everyday basis. And I remember this because this was like a record for me personally, because I got married in Jan 2002. But we started working in the middle of 2000. So say like, so in a year, 7 months, from the middle of 2000 to Jan 2002, in 1 year, 7 months, we had done 500 jingles together.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
that was a lot.
That was like amazing when I actually actually thought about it, because I had actually kept a record of everything, all the work we had done. It was mind-blowing because that was like film school for me. It was like going to school and getting paid for it. Then another person I have to mention is Vishal Bharadwaj, because from Omkar onwards,
yeah,
working on all his movies has taught me so much. What it taught me more than anything is how to color an Indian melody, you know, without alienating the Indian listener, without respecting the tradition of Indian music, which is so different from Western music, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of arrangers who have a knowledge of Western music don't understand necessarily that when you color a melody with Western harmony, you need to keep in mind the psyche of the Indian listener, which is based on a sa and is not based on chords. Western music is based on chords, but Indian music is all relative to a sa. It's relative to a single root note.
So could you give us an example? If you have to like make it a song, how right. would you?
For example, like when I would sing or when I would compose an Indian melody, I stop using my keyboard as a keyboard, you know? So I use it as a harmonic. So if I'm writing in C sharp, then I will literally just pick a rag. Okay, so I would pick a rag, and like I will only play notes of that rag on harmonium and try to construct the melody within those notes. So after the melody is constructed, and that melody, you know, without leaning on harmony, without leaning on my background as a pianist or whatever, you know, as, you know, somebody who's able to play chords, without leaning on that, if you're able to make every line of a melody sound good, then once you've done that, then you bring in your harmony and harmonic vocabulary and then color it interestingly, and the result is so much more beautiful. Yeah. So yeah, I've been doing it for a long time.
So what does your family have to say about this now? Like,
oh, now they're really proud of me, and they're all very, you know, very happy that I decided to, you know, follow my heart instead of my head, because they all realize that I would have been terrible as a bank manager. Yeah, and that MBA thing was like, that those MBA books were like Greek to me when I would, you know, was reading them, and I was like, why am I doing this? Why am
I tell us about that. How did you like phase. Run out of it? Like, how did you say, okay, dude, ye nahi hoga?
Yeah, it was one conversation that did it for me. My friend Asif Ali Beg, you know, was a very popular lyricist, you know, singer and everything. So we were a gang, and he asked me, what do you want to do with your life? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? I was still doing my TY back then, and I was going to do my MBA. I bought the books to study for my MBA, bought that cat book, that massive thing. And I was saying, yeah, I'm going to do my MBA. I'm going to be, you know, probably, I don't know, I've not thought so far ahead. But he said, you know how I see you in 10 years? So I said, how do you see me in 10 years? He said, I see you wearing a terrycot shirt and a tie, sitting on your bike and fighting traffic from Mahim to Nariman Point every day for 40 years. Do you want to live like that? So, and that scared me, you know. I mean, no disrespect to my corporate friends, of course, because there's so many of them do that, and they're really successful at what they do.
Yeah.
But I just didn't see myself, you know, in a desk job. You know, that's when that picture, mental image, actually woke me up and said, you know, maybe I should consider doing music. Because he said, you know, we know how difficult it is to make it in this business. We are the last people to give this advice to people who don't deserve it. But I know, he said, I'm guaranteeing you that you'll be able to make it, because I know the talent you have.
That's incredible faith. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really thought about that, and I said, wow, that's like... maybe I should consider it. And then so I told my mom, I've got my first class in my BCom like you wanted me to, you know. So now I'm not studying further. MBA is not going to happen. So of course, you know, my parents were like, my mom especially, it was very hard convincing them that I'm not just wasting my time, and I'm not going to, you know, get into all sorts of bad stuff, and you know how it is back
rock
then,
and roll them,
exactly, you know, that's that lifestyle.
The vision is like that, oh my
something
son
that it's so far removed from what they from their reality that they just tend to imagine the worst. But initially, of course, you more than anything, you want to prove to yourself, forget about your parents, you need to prove to yourself that you can do it, you know. So that makes you work harder and makes you just kind of try and figure out what, you know, what else, what is the next step every step of the way.
How did Madari happen? Madari was like, I think out of all the Coke Studio seasons, everything that's happened, Madari's topmost for I think everyone. Oh yeah. So.
Right. In fact, Madari, strangely enough, because when we had done that season, nobody in MTV or anyone really thought that Madari was going to be popular. We all were banking on Saathi Salaam being, you know, the more popular song, because Sawan Khan had sung it and stuff like that. But Madari just kind of took off the first day. It straight away, it just started, like the first day it was released, it started like going nuts. And we were like wondering, what, MTV's calling me, have you seen seen Madari, the hits on Madari? It's like, it's just overtaking everything else. So I was like, wow, how is that happening? I really don't know. And so it's one of those things where, you know, you don't overanalyze. You just say that it's how I was feeling on a particular day. And Madari, the whole thing evolved from that one word, actually. And Manoj Yadav, the lyricist, I had asked him to send me, during the time when I was writing for Coke Studio, I had asked him to send me a whole bunch of all the stuff that you've written, which other people have rejected, you know. What has been not good for everyone else, please send those to me, you know. So he sent me like a four or five page document with random lyrics, and some were unfinished, some had just two lines, some had one, like some didn't even rhyme, some had, you know, thoughts that were just, you know, just
scribbles, you know,
just scribbles, just random stuff he sent me. But there were some gems in that randomness, you know. And this one word, Madari, just read it and I kept wanting to repeat it. So it's like Madari, Madari, Madari. I just felt like it had a rhythm to it and I wanted to repeat it. So literally that Madari, 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 it came from just reading that word on that page. And then I had this idea for a mandolin line. So Madari, and I picked up my guitar and I started playing this line. Tang, 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 tarang, tang, tang, tang. I just had that thing with the Madari, you know, like Madari, 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 that's all I had. And I called Manoj, I said, come to my studio, I have this idea. Let's see if we can crack something with it.
Madari, 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 mera tu, main Jammura re Jammura, Jammura re Jammura. Madari, 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 mera tu, main Jammura re Jammura, Jammura re. Tera damru baje, baje damru, van ka mayura, jamke naache. Teri baani ke dam par, baani ke dam par. जग सारा भागे आगे पाछे तू ही थारे मुस्कान की बूटी छींटे तू असुन की फुहार तू ही थारे सागर का ठेरा तू ही भरे नदियां में धार मदारी 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 मेरा तू मैं जम्मूरा रे जम्मूरा जम्मूरा रे जम्मूरा मदारी 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 मेरा तू मैं जम्मूरा रे जम्मूरा जम्मूरा रे जम्मूरा है
you pick Vishal, like then you just called on Vishal and said,
yeah, it was Vishal was like an afterthought. And when he spoke to me, he said, dude, man, this song is not like, it's too low for me and it's not in my space. And I said, I know it's not in your space, but I'm really telling you it'll work, you know. Just my wife Dominique actually thought of Vishal. She said, why don't we ask Vishal to sing it, you know, you should ask Vishal. Sure. I was like, are you sure? I don't think it's really suited to his voice, but that it might be a nice idea, it might be interesting. And today when he meets me, every time he meets me, he says, man, that was like such a stroke of genius, because I didn't ever think of, you know, myself singing a song like that. But he delivered it brilliantly. Once he sang it, it was just, yeah, there was nobody else who could have sung it like that.
That's true. I mean, it sounds fantastic. Yeah. And coming to songs in films, Mehram, which is right now like...
Right. Yeah, it's doing... people are liking it.
Yeah, people are loving it. And great. What about Kahani 2? Like, you know, what is happening in Kahani? It's got such a big expectation.
It does, yeah.
So, how was that for you to like... Right. Take on and
right. Of course, yeah. For me, this time, I think also because I'm also doing the songs and the score, it was doubly hard in a sense. But I think with this whole team, like with the team of Amitabh and me, and Sujoy as a producer on Teen, when we worked on Teen. We enjoyed that process so much. Of course, Ribu was is very different as a director from Sujoy. They're completely different in terms of their mindset. But still, we enjoyed that process so much that this film was also, you know, something I was really looking forward to. And when we sat and we did a lot of iterations for Sujoy, which we were, you know, going back and forth with, and it almost felt like it was not going to happen because we just didn't have anything locked, like till very late in the process. And then suddenly in the space of 1 week, we had three songs locked.
Yeah. So do you like have huge fights and arguments when
with Amitabh? Of course. Me and Amitabh, like we I've never fought so much with the lyricist as I fight with Amitabh. We are like, yeah, it's but the best part is that we both realize that when a song finally turns out the way it does, it becomes bigger than both of us, you know. It becomes bigger than the sum of its parts, which is something that we can appreciate as listeners also, and which is why the fighting and everything is worth it, you know. It's worth it.
So can you hum a few lines of Mehram for us?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Teri ungli tham ke teri duniya mein chalun, मेरे रंग तू ना रंगे तो तेरे रंग में मैं ढलूं, मुझे कुछ मत दे बस रख ले मेरा नजराना, बिन शर्तों के हाँ तुझसे मेरा याराना, मुझे महरम 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 मुझे महरम जान ले, मुझे महरम 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 मुझे महरम जान ले, मेरी आंखों में तेरी सूरत पहचान ले, मुझे महरम 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 मुझे महरम मुझे महरम जान ले, मुझे महरम 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 मुझे महरम जान ले, मुझे महरम 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 मुझे महरम जान ले, मेरी आंखों में तेरी सूरत पहचान ले, मुझे महरम 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 मुझे महरम मुझे महरम जान ले। खुल के ना कह सके कानों में बोल दे अपना हर राज तू आ मुझ पे खोल दे, मेरे रहते भला किस बात का है घबराना, अब से तेरा हाफिज है मेरा याराना, when you compose a song, aren't you like tempted ki main hi gaunga, are kisi ko nahi gawana mujhe?
Actually it's the opposite. I very often have to convince directors or whoever, you know, I'm working with that I shouldn't be singing it, because what happens is when I've composed the scratch, I usually have the scratch in my voice, you know, and that goes out to everybody and to all the departments so that they can do work on it and the shoot and whatever happens. By then people get used to hearing it in that context, and then when a singer comes, it doesn't always work because the singer brings his own take to it, right? So it's not necessarily always better, it's just different. It's not necessary that a singer can take a song to a different level, but and even if it does, it's always different from how a composer renders a song. And when you render a song as a composer, there's something in it that, you know, is ties you to that song. There's a link there that, you know, some people really like. And so sometimes, you know, I have to tell people that, you know, listen, I think this one will really do a good job. Let's call him or let's call her. The times when I really feel like I want to sing a song and the director's not seeing it, you know, he's saying it. No, I think we should get this person to sing it, or you know. I really want to sing this. I like this song. Let me sing it. Come on, you know. So you know, you sing it. We'll do another version. Unplugged, kuch unplugged album. I don't want that. I want to sing the main song. So yeah, so it's the reverse is also true.
Great. Great. I mean, we'll wrap this interview on that note.
Great.
And
thank you so much, Kirti. It's been amazing.
That's a Savan Pro gift card. Which,
oh wow, lovely.
Yeah, it's a.
Oh, that's awesome. So my daughter's gonna be really happy with this.
That's for a year.
Oh
so,
wow, for a year.
For a year,
it's gonna be amazing. You know what she said? You know what she said today?
Daddy, get a card.
Yeah. No. She didn't say. I don't think she knew about these cards. But I told her I'm going to Savan and all that. She's saying, tell them to give me free music. I subscribe. I pay for my subscription or something like that. So she's going to be super happy when I tell her. I didn't even ask for it.
Talking music. Download from upnafm.com.